The scripture reading is from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. This is always a fun one. Excited this morning. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling noise, sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breathed life, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army." So before we dive in, look at the background of Scripture a little bit. God had called his people, the Jews, out of captivity in Egypt. For over 100 years, they had been in Egyptian captivity. God, he brought them to the promised land, led them through the desert, gave them all this land, gave them a king, and made them a great nation. But as a continuing theme with these Israelites, they turned against God, and God allowed them back into captivity once again. Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian army invaded Israel. They had reduced Solomon's temple to ashes and taken many of the Jewish people back to Babylon as captives. This is the condition Ezekiel is in when this vision comes to him. The nation of Israel was basically dead. It wasn't a nation anymore. It was scattered people in a land that wasn't their own. But God, he had a vision for the future of Israel, and he was sharing it with Ezekiel there. So we see Ezekiel is carried to this valley full of very dry bones. Now try to imagine the scene this morning. Try to imagine these bones scattered everywhere. Very white, very dry, dusty. Bones as far as you can see. Scattered, I'd say, randomly about. For Ezekiel, this was a vision of the nation of Israel. It wasn't just random bones. This was the nation of Israel represented here. And there was no way that Israel could by themselves get out of this captivity. They were like these dead, dry bones. They were in a graveyard, in a hopeless situation, with no hope of getting out of this captivity by themselves. So a little connection here. Maybe this is sort of like some of you here today or somebody you know. There seems a little hopeless. You look around, it's bones everywhere. You don't see the hope in it. Everything seems to be wrong. Life is a mess, or maybe not where you want it to be. You see yourself, or that family member, that friend, or the person you meet, they see themselves in this valley of bones. So look at the question next. Ezekiel is looking at these millions of dead bones. Over, I don't know how many miles he could see, all around him. And God asked him, "Can these bones live?" I don't know about you, and how you would answer that question. But to me, I'd be like, well, they're bones. I don't see any life around. There's bones. Bones are dead. There's no life. But Ezekiel had a very deep faith. He said, "Can these dry bones live? I don't see how they could, but if it was up to you and you said they'll live, yeah, they can live. Whatever you decide is how they'll be." Ezekiel here, he's telling God, he's saying, "God, you're in charge and I know this. You're in control of everything. You're in control if the nation of Israel can come out of this captivity, if they could not come out of the captivity. It's all in your control. You can do what you want, and with you, nothing is impossible. If you want these dead bones to live, they'll live." So I want to see a little application here in our daily lives. I want to look at two areas that we can see dead, dry bones. The first one is the life of the church, and the second one is the life of the lost. So first, life of the church. What kind of dry, dead bones do we see in the church today? I read this thing by a man named Dennis Cox. He describes bony Christians in the church today. The first one he describes is the tailbone Christian. That Christian is the one who just sits there and lets everybody else do the ministries of the church. And he says, if God wanted you to just sit around and do nothing, then the moment you were saved, he would have taken you on to glory. That was it. There's nothing else to do. Your life is fulfilled. But as 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So can these bones live? Yes. As soon as they get off the tailbones, get in the ministry. The second one he describes is the finger bone Christian. That Christian is always pointing their finger at everybody else, not taking responsibilities for their own actions and the failures around them and in their own lives. They blame everybody else for the circumstances they find themselves in. So the question is asked, can these bones live? Yes. As soon as they realize that they may be picking a splinter out of someone else's eye, but they have a log in their own. The jawbone Christian. These are the Christians that they put their motion or their mouth into gear before they put the brain into gear, some people would say. They spread gossip. They cause turmoil. They cause up strife all the time. And you can ask, can these bones live? Yes. When they snatch their tongue back and give it back to the Holy Spirit, when they give it to God. As Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So next is the dry bone Christian. This is a Christian whose Christian life is just withered up, because he or she, whoever it may be, isn't in relationship with God, isn't in the Word of God. So again, the question is asked, can these dry bones live? Yes. When we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, in the water of life. Then you have the wishbone Christian. So I don't know about any of you, but at Thanksgiving, sometimes there's that wishbone, and you and someone else will hold it, make a wish, and pull. Whoever gets to the bigger side, they win and get their wish granted. So that's sort of like the wishbone Christian. They go into their prayer life and they say, give me, give me, give me. Here's my wish. Here's my wish list. This is what I want. This is what I think I need. But that's not how prayer life should be. Prayer life should be a relationship. Not only should you ask for things, of course that's not wrong to ask, but also be a conversation. If you're giving thanksgiving and praise and worship to God, so can these dry bones live? Yes. When they get their prayer life back in order and come back into a good relationship with God. Then you have the backbone Christian. This is the Christian who stands by his convictions, knows where they are, know where they stand, and know what they believe in. This is the Christian with a backbone who won't live their life according to the world. They won't blend into the world just because it's the way it is. And they won't conform to the standards of anybody else around them. They know where they stand, and they stand firm in that. Can these dry bones live? Yes. And they do live. They live as a testimony of the grace of God, to the power of God. And they give their testimony and stand firm in their faith. Then you have the kneebone Christian. They realize that the victory in the Christian life comes only through a life of prayer. There's a saying that goes, much prayer equals much power. Little prayer equals little power. Then no prayer equals no power. The kneebone Christian, they realize this. And they're always praying. Always in that relationship with God. Giving this praise, this worship, asking things, but also expecting nothing in return, because they know they don't deserve it. They take everything and are thankful for it. Can these dry bones live? Yes. They are the ones who are living. And they're living in a life of victory through their prayer. Now there's another area of life where there's dry bones. That's the life of the lost. As we look over the valley of dead and dry bones, we see all this death, all this hopelessness. Every lost person, every person who is not in Christ, is as dead as these bones are. That's their faith. It's dead as these bones. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no righteous, not even one. So once again, the question is asked, can these dry bones live? Ephesians 2:1 answers it. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Yes, these were dead, but they can live again. Ezekiel, when he's listening to God, and God says, here's my twofold plan. I want you to prophesy to these bones, and they're going to come together and make bodies. Then you're going to prophesy to the wind and give breath of life into them. He gives them this twofold plan. So let's look a little bit more into that. The first one is the word. Ezekiel was told to preach to these dead, dry bones. Now, I don't know about you again, but I couldn't imagine preaching to a bunch of dry, dead bones. It sort of freaked me out. But he did it anyways. He said, dry bones, listen to what God has to say. And he continues to each bone, to each body. And so all of a sudden, he hears a rattling sound. And right before his eyes, he sees these bones coming together. And muscle and tendons and skin begin to form. And laying before him are thousands of these bodies. They have no life, but they're together. These bodies are back together. Now that would really freak me out. I don't know what to do in that situation. So that could correlate to us today. Christians, we're constantly struggling. We're constantly fighting. Sometimes our Christian life can seem dry and dehydrated like these bones. We're spiritually thirsty. And to overcome that, to come back together, we need to dive into the water of God's Word. There you'll find your spiritual refreshment. And for those that are lost, there's one way to come back to faith in Christ. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word tells you that Jesus, he's the only hope for heaven. So trust in him, be in him, be one with God. So the second part of the plan, Ezekiel has all these bodies laying in front of him, but there's no life in him. Something more is needed than just hearing the word of God. Something more is needed. And that's the Holy Spirit. We can look back at Genesis 2:7 when it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Again, this sort of correlates to us. We cannot save anyone. We don't have the power to do that. It's not a responsibility to save anyone. I couldn't, even if I tried my hardest. What's my responsibility, and every Christian's responsibility, is as Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now that's not saying everybody should be a preacher. That's just saying everybody is called to spread the news of God, spread about the glory of Christ, how he came and died for us and was resurrected again for the forgiveness of our sins, to give us new life, new breath. He gives us that through the Holy Spirit, who takes this word of God, gives us the power to give life to a dead soul. And it's our responsibility to hand out the word of God left and right to everybody we meet. Even though they might be a Christian, we still give them the word of God. And through that, the Holy Spirit can give everyone new life. Do you know someone who is struggling, who is discouraged, all dried up, who is in need of a friend or a word of encouragement? God is calling each of us to be that tool, to be that instrument in their lives, to spread the word of God so that the Holy Spirit can come in and give them a new breath of life, give them new hope, new courage, new strength, to quench their thirsty souls. So can dead, dry bones live? With God, nothing is impossible. Sometimes we look around us, and all we see is this valley of dry, dead bones. And sometimes it can look pretty hopeless. It can look pretty devastating, pretty grim. But God, he always has a plan. If we get into His Word, He'll speak to us through prayer. We give this power, this courage, this strength. If we yield to the Holy Spirit, through the Word, we'll be given a new life, new hope, be formed again. So can dry bones live? That's up to each and every one of you. Amen. If you'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. And Lord, give us the strength. Give us the courage. Give us the knowledge the Holy Spirit is always here to back us. That you always have a plan. Give us the strength to tell others about your Son and about your glory. To spread the good news to all the corners of the earth. To allow the Holy Spirit to come in and give new life to everyone. Give us this, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.